This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, welcome to the big show. It's Friday night, downtown Las Vegas at the Circus Sportsbook. Matt Eumanns here with Will Hill on the East Coast in Connecticut. And we got a lot for you tonight. We've got golf, baseball, NBA, hockey, and more. And Will Hill, welcome into the show tonight. Hopefully your U.S. Open golf betting is going better than mine. This is one of the most bizarre major tournaments I have ever seen. Are you involved?
I am. The one bet I made, the one bet I gave out Monday with Super Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis is Victor Hovland, 60-1.
So, nice.
I tweeted a little earlier, poor Victor Hovland has no idea right now, but he has no chance because I have money on him. It's been a while since I hit one of these golf rides. Not that I play every week, but I just I dabble once in a while. I really first started betting golf seriously in 2020. COVID, it was the first sport back, and I got up to beginner's luck. I hit maybe five outrights in like 8 or 9 weeks, but it's been I've been slowly giving it back, I guess. I'll put it that way. But yeah, should be fun. Should be a fun show. This U.S. Open is interesting. I'm curious what you think. To me, what interests me, a couple things. The weather, and might be getting some rain overnight, so keep an eye on that. Can Burns keep it up with the putter? And then you have this group of guys, big-name guys, that are plus four that usually, you're plus four on a Friday. Forget about it. But they're only seven shots back. That's Scheffler. That's Schauffele. That's Morikawa. That's Rahm. Cam Young, Aaron Rye. But that group is a group I'll be keeping an eye on and see if Burns can keep it up. But like you said, it's been a bizarre start here to this tournament.
Right now, it looks like Rory McIlroy and Bryson DeChambeau could each miss the cut. DeChambeau's near certainty to miss the cut. I'm trying to figure out what's going on with Rory right now because Rory was tight-roping the cut line here with a couple holes to go. But again, the pre-tournament favorite, Scottie Scheffler, is going to be seven shots back going into the weekend. I got a text message here from a former pro golfer who says, I think this is, if you bet the tournament and you got a player live, this is something you should listen to. Quote, hold all tickets. This is anybody's tournament right now. If you make the cut, you've got a chance. So that's probably going to hold true for the weekend. This is going to be a wild weekend. And you say some big names are headed home for Saturday and Sunday at the U.S. Open at Oakmont. And we've got a leaderboard of little-known players and guys who have never won a major near the top. Sam Burns, J.J. Spahn, Victor Hovland, Adam Scott, Ben Griffin. Those are your top five as we sit here on Friday afternoon. The round is not quite completed. But Will Hill, great job by you. You made one bet, and you got Victor Hovland, who is two strokes off the lead at one under. Sam Burns right now, our current leader. You can see the DraftKings odds. Sam Burns is a favorite, plus 330. He should have won last week in Canada, and his betting backers took a bad beat. Hopefully those bettors stayed with Burns this week and got a chance to cash. Sam Burns went off here at 75-1 at Circa, and J.J. Spahn 140-1. Victor Hovland, another long shot, I think Mitch Moss and Will Hill both have a piece of here. Scottie Scheffler still is 8-1, being seven strokes back. It doesn't look like he's going to make that up over the weekend, but like you say, any player who makes the cut has got a chance. Almost any player who makes the cut has got a chance. Will, great discipline on your part, only betting one player in the U.S. Open. That's very rare. You understand that, right? Most guys bet anywhere from 5 to 10 players, have a bunch of top 10, top 20 bets. You made one bet. That's it. How'd you stay so disciplined?
I wanted to have some skin in the game. I thought the 60-1 was long. I thought, four top 10 finishes in majors and over the last couple of years for Hovland. I just thought it was a good price. And look, I don't care how good you are at betting golf. I mean, we got some guys this network that are not good at it, that are great at it. Kelly Bidlin, Wes Reynolds, you go down the line, Matt Brown. That being said, it's hard to win. So, you hate to have a good week, betting other sports and give it back with four or five different golfers. So took a shot with Hovland. We still have a long way to go, but all you can ask for entering the weekend is to be in the mix, to have a shot. And I at least have that going.
All right, we got plenty more golf betting talk coming up on the show, and we'll try to monitor what happens. I know there's a lot of money riding on Rory McIlroy to miss the cut at Oakmont, and he's coming down the stretch as we speak. Also, we're about to start in the Bronx between the Yankees and the Red Sox. And, Will Hill, it's Ryan Yarbrough against Garrett Crochet. Red Sox minus 135 here at Circa, total of 8. I was at Dodger Stadium on June 1st when Ryan Yarbrough shut down the Dodgers. 6 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, struck out 5, no walks. He went back to the Bronx and the next start on June 7th against the Red Sox and got hammered for 8 runs in 4 innings. What do you expect from Yarbrough and your Yankees tonight at Fenway Park?
They didn't play the game. These teams just met last weekend. Like you said, this is a rematch of the Saturday night game, the Fox game last week, where Crochet beat Yarbrough. I was tempted by the Yankees at a plus price because they do hit lefties exceptionally well. Judge and Goldschmidt have almost video game-like numbers against lefties. Their numbers throughout the lineup are really good, and their lineup's about to get stronger, it looks like, with Giancarlo Stanton on a rehab assignment on his way back. So I almost bet the Yankees. I thought about over 8. All 3 of these games sailed over last weekend. We were on the air for one of them or a couple of them. That Friday night game that went way over, and there was just a lot of runs. You can expect a lot of runs when these two teams meet. So if I had to play anything, I would play over 8. Something I talked about last week but never bet. I said, you know what, Devers, every time he faces the Yankees, every time he goes to Yankee Stadium, you could just bet on him hitting a home run. It's probably a good bet. He hit homers in at least 2 of the 3 games, if not all 3 games. He's plus 500 to homer tonight. Now, you don't have the short porch in right field, although you got the pesky pole. So it's lefty on lefty, but Yarbrough's not a guy that's going to overpower you. Maybe Devers can hook one around the pesky pole or hit one over the monster the other way or get into the bullpen. Devers at plus 500 to hit a home run if you just want some skin in the game. Not the worst bet with the way he swings the bat against the Yankees. And that slow start he was off to, remember, was 0 for his first 16 or 20. That did not last. He has been red hot here for a long time. He is a tremendous hitter. He's not a good hitter. He's a great hitter. So him at 5-1 to hit a home run, I don't think is a bad bet. If I had to play it, I'd play over. Tough pitching matchup for the Yankees. Clearly the advantage here for Boston. What are your thoughts on this game? Anything you're interested in?
Yep, it's going to be Red Sox or pass. I like Garrett Crochet. I thought he handled the Yankees okay last weekend. Yarbrough obviously had a lot of problems with the Red Sox lineup. I did not want to lay the $135. I thought the price was going to be a little cheaper and didn't get to it at the right price. So I went ahead and passed on that game. But it would be Red Sox or pass because I didn't like what I saw from Yarbrough against the Boston lineup last weekend. Hey, we're underway in Omaha. Second game tonight, Louisville and Oregon State. The Beavers were about minus 170 when they opened, 160, 170. Bet up to minus 200, a total of 9.5. That total came down from 10. And we got the VSIN crew out there in Omaha, and that game is about to get underway right now. That is not our game of the night, but this is.
The lights are on, and the stakes are high. It's the primetime game of the night.
Game 4, OKC, supposed to be a dominant favorite in the NBA Finals. Thunder now backed against the wall against the Indiana Pacers, who lead 2-1 in the series. Despite losing Game 3, the Thunder bigger favorites here in Game 4, laying 6. The total is 227.5. And Will Hill, what's your quick take here? I've been pro Pacers throughout this series. I decided to pass on the Pacers tonight.
I like the Pacers. I feel like almost like I'm walking into a trap. It almost looks too good to be true. I don't know how you watch the Pacers this last month or so in the playoffs and say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to lay 6 points against them in their building, and I'm going to lay 110 to do it on top of it. The Pacers, I'm terrified to bet against them. The 3-point shooting, the coaching, you know, the home court, just the story. They seem to have some magic, which is not always quantifiable here. But to lay 6 here against this team is absolutely terrifying. I like the Pacers. I think there's even some 6.5 starting to pop up. Julian Edlow from DraftKings had a couple of interesting tweets. He said this is the biggest home underdog in the NBA Finals in 25 years. The last team to be this big of an underdog was actually the Pacers as well against the Lakers in Game 5 of year 2000. The Pacers ended up winning that game, I think 120-87, won it in blowout fashion. So I thought that was interesting, and I guess somebody bet at DraftKings in December at 120-1 odds. The Pacers, and they put a couple hundred bucks on it, I think. A couple hundred, a couple thousand, I got to look at the payout. It was a substantial bet, a significant bet on the Pacers at 120-1. Remember, this team was 10-15 at one point. But to me, it's only the Pacers plus 6. I like them getting the points. Fascinating game here with the better team on the road, up against it. This game will go, obviously, a long, long way to deciding who wins the championship.
No question. If the Pacers win tonight, I think they're going to win the championship. If they go up 3-1, like I said, I've been pro Pacers throughout the series, but I really felt strongly they were going to get at least a split in Indianapolis. So you get the win in game three. I don't have to bet game four. Unless I see a live opportunity, I want to jump in tonight. The zigzag angle has been so strong in the playoffs. NBA teams, after a straight-up playoff loss this season, 43-22 against the spread, 67%. OKC Thunder have been great at bouncing back from losses in the regular season and the postseason. Like you said, you felt like you were walking into a trap. Since I cashed out with the Pacers in Game 3, I didn't feel like I had to walk into that trap tonight. I've got a small bet under 227.5. No bet right now on the side, but this is a live betting show. And we'll see if a great spot pops up tonight where I feel like we can grab a number on either side in OKC and Indiana. I think we're about, an hour and 20 minutes away from tip-off in Indianapolis for that one. So Will Hill and I will talk a lot about that, and we got a couple great guests to preview it tonight. Paul Bovey, professional sports bettor, very sharp NBA handicapper. He's going to be on with us here in about 20 minutes to talk OKC Indiana at 5 p.m. Pacific. We've got Indy Jeff Seeley. I don't know if he's going to be at the game, but I know Indy Jeff is a Pacers fan and a sharp bettor. We're going to talk U.S. Open and NBA with Indy Jeff. And Circus Sports golf odds maker Sam Cooney joins the show in the final hour tonight as we talk about the U.S. Open headed into the weekend. Stay tuned. Big show for the next 4 hours here. It's VSIN Primetime. This is hard to believe. Rory McIlroy makes the cut at Oakmont with a birdie on 18. He birdied 15 and 18 on the way in. This is a tweet from David Purdom of ESPN.com 2 days ago. Quote, more bets have been placed and more money wagered on Rory McIlroy to miss the cut at the U.S. Open than on any other player listed on DraftKings odds to miss the cut. Another win for the books is Rory birdies 18 to sneak in. The projected cut line is 6 over, and Rory gets in right at 6 over. Xander Schauffele also at 6 over. And Will Hill, that sucks for all the players out there who bet Rory to miss the cut. He gets 2 birdies in the final 4 holes to sneak in for the weekend.
Tough one. Tough one to say the least. Yeah. I feel like you had a pretty good handicap, and you're sweating this out hole by hole, keeping up with it, and then to get sucker punch like that late is stings, leaves a mark. Get them next time. Nothing you could do. Had a good handicap. Not all good bets get home.
Yep, chalk up a win for the books on that one as Rory makes the cut, gets in for the weekend, and Rory's been I'm going to say he's had a real sour attitude around the media recently, and actually since he won the Masters, kind of a hard guy to root for, the way he's acted. He's been so childish in his behavior in the last couple months. But he sneaks in at 6 over. Here are players, if the cut stays where it is, here are some big-name players who are going to miss the weekend and miss the cut. Hideki Matsuyama, former U.S. Open winner Matt Fitzpatrick, Fat Pat Reed, Harris English, Patrick Cantlay is going to miss the cut. How about Wyndham Clark, another former U.S. Open winner, Ludvig Åberg, Phil Mickelson, Minwoo Lee, Cameron Smith, who has faded badly the past couple years, Dustin Johnson, Joaquin Neiman. Dustin Johnson was a winner the last time the Open was played at Oakmont. Joaquin Neiman, again, the best player on the LIV Tour, a no-show in another major. Bryson DeChambeau, probably the most shocking performance of the week. DeChambeau headed home at 10 over par. And Bryson, a two-time U.S. Open winner, shoots 73-77. DeChambeau was one of the players I bet this week. How about Sepp Straka? Big Sepp Straka at 11 over, headed home for the weekend. And the biggest flop, I'm going to say the biggest flop out there, Shane Lowry. This is a player I bet. Shane Lowry, 17 over, shot 79-78. And, Will, if you bet on Shane Lowry like I did, and I know a lot of handicappers like Lowry this week, that's kind of the equivalent of betting on a horse in the Kentucky Derby that finishes last.
I can relate. I bet OKC to sweep the Pacers, so I can relate to these sentiments.
Lowry right now, tied for 138th out of 156 players at 17 over par. What a pathetic performance by Lowry. And I almost go back to, Will, I don't know if you saw this. You probably don't watch as much golf as I do, but there was a tournament about 3 weeks ago. Lowry was walking through the gallery from a green up to the next tee. There were a bunch of fans lined up around, and he was in contention to win the tournament. And it was, I think it was on the back nine on Sunday. He walked past all the fans, did not acknowledge any of them, and there was about a 10-year-old girl standing away from the pack, about 20 feet away, all by herself, and she sticks her hand out to congratulate Lowry, and he ignored the 10-year-old girl and just walked her, blew right by her. That's probably bad karma. That's probably why bad things are happening to Lowry this week, and I shouldn't have bet on him. But again, 79-78 for Shane Lowry, 17 over. Probably the worst performance of all the big-name golfers at the U.S. Open at Oakmont. All right, Will Hill, Matt Youmans here on VSIN Primetime. Paul Bovey is going to be on with us here in about 10 minutes to talk OKC, Indiana. Will, you just mentioned it. I've got bets on OKC to win this series in six, in seven. I've won two bets on the Pacers in game one and game three, and I tell you what, right now, the Pacers are live to win this series. I felt like OKC was overrated by a lot of handicappers. The betting market really overrated the Thunder, I thought, going into the series. And when I talked about it before the series, the edges the Pacers have, one is their three-point shooting, and two is their coaching. Rick Carlisle, definitely the better coach. And in a series, as you get deeper into it, adjustments become more and more important. And Rick Carlisle, as a coach, is making the better adjustments. You saw it the way the Pacers threw multiple defenders at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in Game 3. Pacers did a lot of things defensively to kind of tilt the court in their favor. Also, Will, when you look back, you said you bet the Thunder to sweep the Pacers. When you look back at this, I talked about it before the series. Do you think that you overrated OKC? Because this is what I said was, this is a really young team with a young coach, and they've never been here before. I don't know why everyone's expecting the Thunder to roll over the Pacers like Indiana's some sort of joke. I just think what you're seeing is a Thunder team that's young and still a little bit immature.
Yes, I think I definitely overrated the Thunder. And when you mentioned you have it Pacers in six, Pacers in seven, I said it on the air. I said, you know what? Not too many guys where if I'm going against them, I don't feel great about it. You're one of the people that if you have a different handicap, different view on a game, series, whatever, I definitely second guess it. But you know, really looking back at my bet, getting plus 330 I thought was a good number. I just thought they'd win the first two at home, and then from three and four on I could maneuver. I'd be laying points and I'd be in good position. That's what really, you know, derailed me was blowing game one the way they blew it. So they dominated really 95% of the first two games. They let game one get away. And now they're in a lot of trouble. That's a tough building to win, and now they got to win one there. And you know what? Unless they win the next three games, we're either looking at a historic upset or a game seven or both. And who wouldn't love a game seven, you know, unless it costs you your bets? If you're neutral, you're probably rooting for the Pacers. So, you know, bottom line here, I don't think the Pacers are going to lose the next three, especially with two of them at home. And we got a good shot here at either an upset or a game seven, and that's going to be a lot of fun. It's been almost a decade since we've gotten to game seven of the NBA Finals. It was the Cavs and the Warriors in 2016, a great game, an iconic game. LeBron brings a championship to the Cavs, that great 73-1 Warriors team. It would be fun to sit here. I think that would be on a Sunday in a week or so. Mm-hmm. But, man, sign me up for a game seven. NBA Finals, can't beat it. Hopefully we get there.
I think there's a good chance we're going to get a game seven. And I felt like that from the start. It was going to be a six- or seven-game series. It seems more likely now. And I tell you what, Will, we're going to fix your audio. We'll get you back on for the next segment, bring you on with Paul Bovey here in about 8 minutes. But it looked like this is going to be a long series from the outset just because Pacers have strong home court advantage. And I think a lot of people underrated this, that they have the better coach, obviously the better coach, much sharper coach. Rick Carlisle's been there, done it. He's won it as a player, as a coach. And you see NBA playoff series so often over the years won by the more experienced team and especially the better coach, because he'll make the adjustments as you get deeper into the series, the payoff. I saw it for years with Phil Jackson with the Bulls, and you see it with Greg Popovich with the Spurs, and you go on and on. I really think OKC being a minus 700 favorite going into this NBA Finals was not only disrespectful to the Pacers, just a big mistake on the part of the betting market and a lot of sharp bettors out there who I think failed to realize this is a young coach and a young team that's never been here and is just not going to roll over Indiana like the Pacers are some sort of bad joke. You know, if you look at the Thunder, they were dragged to seven games by the Denver Nuggets. Now, I understand that the Joker is the best player on the planet, but a lot of the times the Nuggets were playing those games with three players. And to take that to seven games the way the Nuggets did, I thought exposed some of the flaws of the Thunder. Again, you can talk about the net rating and everything you want to about OKC. The regular season and the postseason are two totally different games, especially now the way the NBA is played. When you get into the postseason, it's a much different game. And we're seeing that OKC is a different team in the playoffs than it was in the regular season. Also, the Thunder, in Game 3 in Minneapolis, after going up 2-0 in the series, lost by 40, got their doors blown off. And, you know, again, this is a Thunder team that some people expected to come in here and roll over Indiana in 4 or 5, but it's a Thunder team that lost by 40 at Minnesota in Game 3. I think you tend to forget those things as time passes that, hey, this is going to be a mismatch, OKC is going to roll, and the Pacers are no match for the Thunder. I thought that was a lot of BS going into it, and it certainly looks that way now. I just don't want to doubt the Thunder in this spot tonight because the zigzag has been so powerful in the playoffs. 43-22 ATS with the team that loses the previous game and comes back and covers 43-22 ATS in the next game. I think OKC is in that spot tonight where you don't want to lay the points. The money line's a little bit too high of a price, and I think live betting might be the way to go if you're looking to play the Thunder to even this series tonight in Indiana. I really thought it was going to be a split going back to Indianapolis. That's why I don't want to press my luck with the Pacers tonight. The Pacers did lay a couple eggs at home in the previous rounds, too. Don't forget, they got beat by the Cavs pretty handily in a home game and also blew a 20-point lead in a home loss to the Knicks. So it's not like the Pacers are some sort of lock to cover that six tonight. Quick break. Paul Bovey, professional sports bettor, breaks down Thunder Pacers Game 4 right after this break.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, Will Hill's back. Matt Eumanns here, VSiN Primetime. And we're going to preview the Thunder Pacers Game 4 in Indianapolis with Paul Bovey, professional sports bettor. Let's go out now to the Progressive guest line and dial up Paul Bovey, who's in upstate New York for mysterious reasons tonight, probably still sulking over the Knicks losing to the Pacers. Paul, how are you doing?
I recovered, Matt. On to the next thing, and we're going to get set up for next year, no problem.
How you feel about the Knicks coaching search, by the way? It's not going so well.
Yeah, it's going to be rough, but wherever it lands, and we'll do the best.
All right.
It's Leo Post. He's the man.
Follow him at Paul Bovey, B-O-V-I, professional sports bettor from Vegas, Southern California, Mexico, and other parts unknown. Paul, did you have any pre-NBA finals action on OKC or Indiana? And how is your betting? Can you kind of update us on what your betting has been like throughout this series?
So I did take Indiana for a slice, a small slice, plus 2.5 games. I saw some value there only because, as we know, OKC is weak on the road. So I definitely saw Indiana capturing a few games, and they've gotten that accomplished. And now I've went onward. I've made another play today. I took Indiana basically to win tonight, OKC to win Game 5, and Indiana to wrap it up in Game 6, and coupled that with OKC to win tonight and then go on to win the series at minus 135. And on the formal wager, I got plus 850, which is a lot better than what you can get now, Indy in 6, which is somewhere hovering between plus 500 to plus 570. So I thought that was better value, because if Indy wins this, they're going to do it in six. You always have to make the assumption that the home team will prevail in game seven, because that occurs probably 80%.
Yeah, it's greater than 80%. I think somewhere around 84% in NBA history, the home team wins game seven. And we did see the Thunder beat the Nuggets in game seven in OKC. We saw the Nuggets beat the Clippers in game seven in Denver. And if it goes seven, you got to like the Thunder's chances to win that in seven. So independent of everything you said there, all the different ways you played this and your attempts to turn a profit on this, what do you like tonight if this game is in a vacuum? Okay, game four, Pacers up 2-1, number is six, total 227, 227.5. How would you handicap it?
So if you're a gambler, you're always looking for value. And I cannot justify, and they may win and they may cover, but how do you justify laying 6 points on the road with a team that's been outscored by 57 points on the road in these playoffs and has not covered a game? You can't. So if you're waiting on OKC, you might want to wait until possibly the line drops to 2, 2.5, 3. But I would have to sit this one out and opt for the home team. I mean, at plus six, the problems of OKC are very well documented. They haven't been closing out. They were outscored 25-12 over the last 10 minutes in game three. And in game one, it was 32-18. So in crunch time, it doesn't look like this team is battle tested. So if I were going one way and I haven't bet it, I would have to take the Pacers.
Paul, we don't see this much in the NBA. Cinderella is usually for March. How did this happen? At any point in the season, did you see this coming here with the Pacers?
I did not. Look, I thought the Knicks were a better team. And the inflection point, we can go back to game one. I'm not going to talk about it. But as we know, this could have been the Knicks there. But it seems like the breaks have gone their way. And a lot of times, that's what it takes. You need a team, but you also need the breaks to go your way. And we can go back to Halliburton's shot in game one and, you know, lean on that. But they've played well, but they've shot the ball accurately at the right times, and they've gotten the wins when they needed to, just like game one, 111-110, as I mentioned, outscoring them 32-18 late, making the big shots. So I did play a few props. I've been on Hartenstein under. I lost the first game by 1.5, 16.5 points, rebounds, and assists. He's gone under the last two. His usage rate has gone down over the last nine games. He's played sub 20 minutes six times. In the prior 10, he was above 20 minutes all 10. So Hartenstein's plus minus has been poor. He was a negative against Minnesota. He was actually a -3 in the two regular season games that these two teams hooked up in. And he's one of the props I played. He went down to 15.5 tonight, so I played him smaller, but I still like him under.
Any feel for a total here at 227.5? And just in general, as series go on and teams get more familiar with each other, does that favor the offense or the defense?
It's a tough question. I don't have a definitive answer on that. If I were playing the game tonight on the total, I would probably lean over. I would also lean Indiana team total over, because if they're going to lose it, they're probably going to score. I did play a few more props, but, you know, I didn't see a lot of value in the total at this high of a number.
Yeah, 228 is the highest I see out there in the market anywhere. 227.5 here at Circa, and there's 227s out there. Paul, how about this? If you are on the OKC side here, do you have to slow the pace? Do you have to try to slow the Pacers down a little bit and not run with them and not play their game? Or does OKC feel like it can win that way in Indianapolis tonight?
I would say you want to slow the pace down. There's no question OKC has the better defense. So man on man, you want to slow the game down and get in these guys' faces. So if I were them, yeah, I wouldn't want to play the up and down game. And I think that's what they want to do. But a lot of times the best of intentions go out the window as the game goes on and you get caught up and then they end up in a speed duel. So maybe that will be what they're going to try to do early on. But if they're successful, that remains to be seen.
Yeah, that's one thing I think the Thunder have got to try to do is kind of slow the Pacers down, not let them get out and run, shoot threes like they have. Will, go ahead.
No, Paul, I was just curious, as we wrap up this season, anything you're going to look for in terms of futures? Giannis may be on the move, although it seems less likely now. Durant possibly on the move. Is this something you're going to have your eye on here, a futures market here with these potential superstars on the move here this summer?
Obviously, as it relates to the Knicks, very much so. I tend to focus on the present more. I don't tend to look at these futures till a couple months before. I know I'm missing some opportunity because there's people that are very good in jumping on and getting the best number on these futures, but that's just not something I look on. But will the Knicks get Giannis? It could happen. I just hope they don't relinquish too much and break up the team. But maybe if there's a bargain to be had, Leon Rose will execute.
Professional sports bettor Paul Bovey with us, breaking down Thunder Pacers game 4 in Indianapolis. We're about, less than an hour away from tip-off in that one. And right here at Circa OKC, a 6-point favorite, total of 227.5. Paul, do you think the betting market has overrated the OKC Thunder because it's a young team with a young coach? Did you have any thoughts like that as we go into the playoffs, because the playoffs are a different animal than the regular season? And we've seen the Thunder's flaws get exposed here.
There is no doubt. They have been overrated. I mean, this team barely got by the Nuggets. This team could have been eliminated early on. And I just think that people sometimes rely on hope, and hope being that they will revert to the team that won however many games during the regular season. But again, a lot of times they blew these teams out and weren't tested down the stretch. So now all of a sudden, as they're engaging in these close games, they're just not doing it when it counts. And that's what's happening. But I don't, people just rely on, okay, maybe we'll see the OKC that we expect. And I just don't play that way. I'm not looking to see something that hasn't happened and bank on it happening, but other people see differently.
I agree with you there, Paul Bovey. Best of luck on your best night, and good luck with the hip. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Matt.
All right, Paul Bovey. He's got a bad hip. Paul, he's not able to run stairs like he used to. He's a freak athlete who could run the stairs of the Empire State Building, but he's got a bad hip, and he can't do it, Will Hill. He can't do it like he used to.
Tough getting older.
We're going to talk about Tyrese Haliburton, what type of game we expect from him tonight. 22 points, 9 rebounds, 11 assists. After a quiet game 2, he responded in game 3. What will we see from Haliburton tonight? And some interesting words from Pacers coach Rick Carlisle. Stay tuned. All right, again, big disappointment for a lot of bettors as Rory McIlroy makes the cut at the U.S. Open at Oakmont. Rory birdied 2 of the final 4 holes, 15 and 18 today, to sneak inside the cut line right on the number. He was the most bet golfer to miss the cut at DraftKings Sportsbook. If you bet on Rory to miss the cut, you got plus 300 or better, most likely. And Rory sneaks in with a birdie on 18 today and takes his bad attitude to the course for the weekend. Rory has, I don't think, won many fans over since he won the Masters with his the way he has acted, very childishly. But again, he sneaks in on the cut line today. And a bunch of big names headed home for the weekend, including Bryson DeChambeau and Shane Lowry, two of the biggest bums on the course the last couple days. DeChambeau 10 over and Lowry 17 over. It's kind of hard to believe those two guys were that bad. But Rory McIlroy gets in, and Scottie Scheffler still alive. Don't count him out at DraftKings right now. 8-1 odds to win the U.S. Open, although he is 7 strokes back of the lead. The leader is Sam Burns, who has never won a major. So it looks like a pretty wide-open tournament at Oakmont headed into the weekend. Will, I was just going to get your quick thoughts on this one more time, because you've got Victor Hovland. You're live going into the weekend with a 60-1 shot on Hovland. Great bet by you. He's two strokes back. How do you like this course set up at Oakmont? I think right now as we head to the weekend, there's a total of four players under par, 156 players teed off. Actually, only three under par headed to the weekend. Sam Burns, J.J. Spahn, and Victor Hovland. And it's been carnage out there at Oakmont. A lot of big-name players getting embarrassed. What do you think of the course when you watch it? Because you got basically no trees, no water, 168 bunkers. It kind of looks like a British Open course. And the greens are lightning fast.
Yeah, the greens were certainly something you look at when handicapping this tournament, this course, and the hole-in-one bet cashed today. I forget the name of the golfer, but somebody cashed that with a hole-in-one today, which was interesting. Good bet if you had that, obviously.
Victor Perez. Oh, yeah. Victor Perez aced the sixth hole, and I think Paulie Howard and a lot of bettors out there who bet the no on the hole-in-one prop, a tough loss there because that's the first hole-in-one in a long time at Oakmont.
Yeah, I believe the second all time. So, yeah, that's a tough one. I didn't realize Paul had it. I did listen a little bit of their show from Omaha earlier. Those guys were doing a great job breaking it down. But I think from a betting standpoint, it's fascinating because you just have so many guys plus three, plus four or better. I mean, some of these guys that barely made the cut are still live to, you know, make top 20s, things like that. So there's a lot of different moving parts. There's a lot of different markets here that you can look at where, you know, it's going to be fascinating here from a betting standpoint. I'm curious what you think. If you had to make one bet right now, live outright, who would you pick?
I don't know. I'm still deciding that. I actually think Sam Burns. I bet Brooks Koepka last night at 12-1. Now you can get him at 22-1. I might bet a little bit more on Koepka at 22-1 tonight. I think there are so many players who are live. I've got Keegan Bradley top 30. He's tied for 12th right now at 3 over. Six strokes back. I even think a guy like Keegan Bradley, the captain, is live to win this thing. And there's not much odds value, really none, to betting Sam Burns right now with 36 holes to go. But he's been so hot with the putter. He's been really good 2 weeks in a row. Like I said, he should have won in Canada a week ago. I feel like it might be Sam Burns' time to win a major. And that's kind of what I'm thinking heading into the weekend. But at this point, if he didn't get Burns at around 75-1, that was the number here at Circa. It's tough to bet him right now at plus 330 or 350, whatever the best number is out there in the market going to the weekend. All right, back to the NBA. And again, Indy Jeff Seeley is going to be on with us here in about 10 minutes. Indy Jeff, as sharp as it gets with golf handicapping, also fired up for the Pacers in game four tonight. So we're going to talk golf and NBA with Indy Jeff. But I want to get back to something Rick Carlisle said. Tim Murray and I talked about this last night. I always find it fascinating when you get coaches who are players, talking about point spreads in games. Now, you'll get coaches talking about being in the underdog role and things like that, and they'll use it as motivation. But when coaches know the specific point spreads on the game, I think that's even better. Here's Rick Carlisle talking about the Pacers being underdogs to the OKC Thunder in this series.
We're going to be an underdog in every game in this series. You know, it was 10.5 in the first two games, 5.5 these last night, and then tomorrow. It's a daunting challenge. Anything less than a total grit mindset, you know, and we just, you know, we just don't have a chance.
I do appreciate it when a coach knows the point spread on the game, 5.5, 6, 10.5, 11. Actually, the Pacers were 11.5-point underdogs in game two when they got blown out. 5.5-point underdogs in game three at home and 6 tonight. And Tyrese Haliburton, 22 points, 9 rebounds, 11 assists. Outstanding performance in game three, responding from a rather quiet performance in game two. And Tim Murray and I talked about that at length when we were previewing game three, is that Halliburton's got a history of disappearing. He ghosts in some of these games, but it'll come back strong in the next game. And that's what we expected. I projected, actually, Haliburton to have 20 points and 12 assists in game three. He had 22 points and 11 assists to go with 9 rebounds, almost put up a triple-double. Now, tonight, will he take a step back? Will he be a ghost again? because that's been Halliburton's pattern. He doesn't do it in back-to-back games very often. How about Benedict Mathurin? 27 points off the bench in Game 3. He outscored Oklahoma City's bench by himself. Indiana had a 49-18 edge in bench points. T.J. McConnell was a spark plug as a reserve for the Pacers, 10 points. He had 5 steals. I thought he played a big role in the first half and in the third quarter in keeping the Pacers tight and kind of triggering a Pacers rally and giving them belief that they could win that game. T.J. McConnell was big. Benedict Mathurin obviously was too, but Tyrese Halliburton with the near triple-double. Pacers actually forced 19 turnovers. They had 21 points off those turnovers. But their defense, right? We keep talking about the OKC defense and how elite the OKCD is. So this is where adjustments come in with the better coach. And Rick Carlisle has made some adjustments. He threw multiple defenders at SGA, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. It made it tough for him. And SGA had to dish it off. He had to be a facilitator a little bit more. Obviously, he's getting his points. He's finding ways to get his points in every game. But in the final 6 minutes of that game, he looked tired. The Pacers actually held the Thunder to 1 made field goal in the final 5 minutes and 57 seconds of that game and outscored OKC 15-7. So I think, when you talk about the Pacers and say they can't defend, they've proven it. I thought they did in a couple games against the Knicks, and definitely there in Game 3 against the Thunder. They have the athletes, and they got the scheme. They can defend at certain times when they bring it. They don't always bring it on the defensive end, but they did, obviously, in Game 3, especially in the final 6 minutes of that game, to win 116-107, outscored OKC 32-18 in the fourth quarter. Do we have Will Hill back or no? Thought I saw him on the screen, and then he disappeared again. So, again, at Circa tonight, OKC a 6-point favorite, total 227.5 is the total. I actually see 228.5 in the market out there at, looks like, Caesars William Hill, if you're looking to bet the under tonight. That's the best number I see out there. I lean under. I think that OKCD has got – there's different ways to do this, not just with defense. OKC can walk the ball up the floor, slow the pace, work the shot clock. There's different things they can do. I really feel like OKC's got to stop running with the Pacers, especially in Indianapolis, like they did in Game 3. They were running, and they ran out of gas in the fourth quarter. Like I said, got outscored 32-18. I think they got to try to slow the tempo of the game a little bit, not play the Pacers' style, and that would be their key to winning. And tying up this series of two tonight is slowing the pace of the game. I think the pace is a big key, ironically, for the Indiana Pacers. And OKC's got to slow it a little bit tonight to turn the tables a little bit. Are you ready to get in on the action? Let's talk about First Bet, which has you covered. Sign up now to access exclusive promotions and bet on hundreds of thrilling horse races every day right from your phone or computer. FirstBet.com, that's the number, 1STBet.com. Use promo code VSIN200 to score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days up to $200. Don't miss out. Start betting today at FirstBet.com. Paul Bovey, who's on with us this hour, is a big horse player, and I know had a big weekend at the Belmont at Saratoga, cashing a bunch of tickets. FirstBet.com is where you want to go. 1STBet.com if you're playing the horses. Will Hill's going to rejoin us here, hour number two. And Indy Jeff Seeley's going to jump on the show as well. We're going to talk U.S. Open golf and NBA Finals Game 4 with Indy Jeff right after this break. The Sports Betting Network.